I want to ask you to turn to two passages of Scripture, Ephesians 1 and John 10. We'll begin in Ephesians 1, then if you'll put a marker in John chapter 10, we'll flip over there. We began a series about 2 weeks ago entitled Elevate, Breaking Through to New Levels in Life. And that's what we're talking about, is how to go to a new level in your life, in every area of your life, how to have a breakthrough. And there are five areas specifically that the Lord gave me. One is faith, the second is family, the third is finances, the fourth, freedom, how to have freedom in areas that we've been in bondage in for years maybe, and the fifth is fun. And we're taking 4 weeks on each one. This is the third week on faith, how to have a breakthrough in your relationship with God. And I'm really excited about this message this week because it's entitled, How Can I Hear God? And as a pastor, this is the number one question that I'm asked. For 24 years now in ministry, this is the number one question people ask me. How can I hear God? Last week, after this service, we went to eat with two families here in the church. Precious, wonderful families, and had a great time. But at the lunch table, one of the wives said to me, I have a question for you on this new series. How can I hear God? And I said to her, come next week. That's how you can hear God. That's the key. Come next week. Because that's what I'm going to talk about next week. So I'm going to share with you how you can hear God. And there are four ways to hear God. Four basic ways to hear God. Number one is His Word. God reveals Himself to us through His Word. He speaks through His Word. You have to understand something. God wrote an autobiography. God did. God wrote His biography. It's an autobiography because He wrote it. It's by Him. If you want to know about Him, it's in His book. If you want to know Him better, hearing God. Now, if you take notes, write this down. If you don't take notes, write this down, all right? Hearing God is not a formula. It's a relationship. You have come into a relationship with a person. And if you're going to learn that person's voice and get to know that person, you're going to have to get to know His Word, who He is. The Bible tells us who God is, what He's like, how He is. Let me say it another way. The Bible tells us how He walks, how He talks, how He lies down, how He rises, how He thinks, how He acts, His personality, His character, His behavior, all of that the Bible tells us. So if you want to learn to hear God, you're going to have to get to know God. And the primary way we get to know Him is through His Word. Now, last week I talked about having a quiet time. And we called it the 15-minute breakthrough. I got more positive emails about that message than any message that I've preached since we began the church 5 years ago. So it tells me I'm getting it right. I'm finally beginning to hit on all cylinders. So I'm excited about that. It also tells me there's a need in that area. I want to encourage you to have a quiet time. Don't let that just be a good sermon. You know, that was a good sermon. But put it into practice this year. Hopefully you did that this week. Some of the emails I got were that I did it and I had this unbelievable quiet time. Thank you. Please do it, all of you. And I'm going to help you here and tell you something that happened to me this past Thursday while I was having my quiet time. And I said to the Lord, Lord, I wish this had happened to me before last week because I really need to tell the people this. You know, I should have put this in the quiet time message. And the Lord said, you know, you're going to preach again this weekend, you know, so you can even tell them. On Thursday, point one is clear your mind. Point two, focus your mind, which is sing a worship song, worship the Lord, you remember? Point three, pray your mind. Point four, renew your mind. So I was trying to clear my mind, point one, and I couldn't do it. I could not get my mind clear. I mean, I just could not do it. It had been several minutes, I mean, like 10 or 15, and I couldn't clear my mind. I just had so much on my mind. But I kept having this song. I already knew the song I was going to sing. I just couldn't get to the song because, I was trying to clear my mind, couldn't clear my mind. And I felt like the Lord said, just go ahead and start worshiping. Just go ahead and start. And so I said, now, you understand, I'm telling you, I preached to you last week about how to have a quiet time, and I learned something new this week. That's what I'm telling you. We're all growing and learning this. And so I started singing the song the Lord gave me, and guess what happened? As I began to focus my mind, it cleared. You see? And so I just want you to know, if you can't get past one, I didn't get an email like this, but maybe someone might write and say, listen, I spent 4 hours trying to clear my mind and finally gave up. Well, if you can't get past one, here's the directions. If you can't do one, go immediately to step two. All right? And that will help you in step one. Now, point four is renew your mind. I'm going to show you this morning in this message His Word, how God speaks to us through His Word in Ephesians. And what I'd like for you to do is let Ephesians be your quiet time book this week. In other words, Monday read chapter 1, Tuesday chapter 2, Wednesday chapter 3, and go six chapters Monday through Saturday. And let me just show you what might happen if you read Ephesians this week. Ephesians chapter 1, you might be reading long, and then you come to verse 7. It says, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. So all of a sudden you're reading along, and the Lord just causes this verse to jump off the page to you, and you see the word redemption. And the Lord begins to speak to you. You were redeemed. In other words, you were bought. You were bought with a price. You don't even belong to you anymore. You now belong to me. That means I'm going to take care of you and every need you have because you belong to me. And you were redeemed by my blood is what that says. And the blood of Jesus is what bought every one of us. I want you to understand that you value something by what you pay for it. That's the way you determine the value of something. How much is this car worth or this car depends on how much you paid for it. Well, please understand something. Every one of you costs the same. Every one of you costs the blood of His dear Son. You're as valuable to God as Billy Graham is. You cost the exact same. He paid the same for you. So you're in your quiet time. You say, thank you, Lord, that I'm that valuable to do. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Wow, all of my sins forgiven. And then you think, man, I really blew it last week. But thank you, Lord, that I have the forgiveness of sins through the riches of Your grace. Riches means that He's never going to run out of grace, that He's got plenty. If you blow it tomorrow, He's got enough grace for you. Now, you could just meditate on that. It was hard for me to come up with one verse in chapter 1 because I memorized chapter 1 years ago. And chapter 1 is an incredible. You could spend the whole week in chapter 1. Matter of fact, if you want to, you could spend 2005 in Ephesians 1. When you get to verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He has already blessed you with every spiritual blessing. You might just stop on that verse, not even get past verse 3. You might get down to verses 13 and 14 about in Him you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise until the day of redemption, who is the guarantee. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance? And you might think, thank you, Lord. When the day I got saved, You took the envelope and You licked it and You sealed it and You put a stamp on it that said, don't open until the day of redemption. And then You gave me Your Holy Spirit as the guarantee of my inheritance. Now listen to me. This is all just Monday. Are you catching it? That's just Monday. That's just Monday's quiet time. It's a pretty good quiet time. So that's Monday. Then Tuesday, you read chapter 2. And in chapter 2, you might get down to verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And the Lord can speak to you through His Word that you're not a stranger anymore in the kingdom. In other words, there's nothing in the kingdom you can't have. You don't have to do any window shopping in the kingdom of God. You don't have to walk down the street and look through the windows and wish that you could go in and get this gift or this healing or this miracle from God. In the kingdom of God, you've already become a citizen of this new city and everything in the city is free. And so anything you see in the kingdom, you can walk right into the shop and get anything you see. Now, can I tell you something? I'm preaching better than your amening. This is very, very good stuff that I'm telling you. And this is just Tuesday. Wednesday, when you read Ephesians 3, you might see verse 20. It says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all. I want you to key in on those three, four words. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. You could just get excited about the words in us. That this is the power that's in you. That it works in you. But I want you to notice something about those four words. First of all, those four words could be taken out of the sentence and the sentence mean the same thing. In other words, those four words are added to describe what He's talking about here. They're all descriptive. This verse basically says God is able to do anything that you ask or think. God's able to do what you ask or think. But I think when the Holy Spirit was writing this, He thought, you know, that just doesn't describe my power enough. And so I need to put the word all in there. And so He put the word all in. God is able to do all that we could ask. And then I think He also thought the word think. You know, I can do more than ask. I can even do anything they could think. So He puts, God is able to do all that they could ask or think. Now that's pretty good news right there. That's amazing right there. God's able to do all you could ask or think. And then the Holy Spirit thought, you know, that still doesn't do it. Because I can do more than they could even think. I want you to think about that. God's not limited to your mind. See? So he's thinking, you know, I could do more. I need to put the word above before the word all. So now, verse reads, God is able to do above all that you could ask or think. Is this good? If y'all don't say it's good, I'm going to go over there and talk to them. God is able to do above all that you could ask or think. Is that good? And then the Holy Spirit said to himself, that's still not good enough. That doesn't describe my power enough. And so he put the word abundantly in front of the word above. And so now the verse reads, God is able to do abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And then the Holy Spirit thought, that's still not enough. And so let's put the word exceedingly. And so now the verse reads, God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or think. And here's personally what I think the Holy Spirit thought. He thought, that's still not enough to describe my power, but that's all the room we have on this page. Is that good? Listen to me. That's your quiet time Wednesday. That right there just made Wednesday a good day. I promise you. You read that Wednesday, you're going to have a good day Wednesday. No matter what happens, God's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I could ever ask or think. Just that one verse. And then Thursday, you might read something like this, Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Now, many times in hearing God, it starts with what we might think are generalities and it moves to specifics. In other words, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 seem to be very general. We're forgiven. We're members of the household of God. God's able to do more. Okay. Now, he could take a verse, though, and make it very specific at any time to any of you. For instance, you read this verse. Be kind to one another. Forgiving each other, even as God forgave you. Be tenderhearted. All right. So you read that verse, and the Holy Spirit could do something like this. You know that woman in your office that's mean to you? And you say, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Lord. She's kind of mean to everyone, isn't she? Yeah. I mean, she's just mean, isn't she? Yeah, she is, Lord. She's real mean. I'm glad you see it, too. Now, she's mean. And the Lord could say something to you like, now, do you remember what happened to her last year? Well, she went through a divorce last year. Uh-huh. And was that her first one? No. I think that's her second divorce. Mm-hmm. And do you ever remember her talking about her father? Well, she said her father abused her. Uh-huh. Well, let me just explain something to you about that woman. Every man that's ever been in her life has been the devil. Her father was the devil. Her two husbands were the devil. And what I mean by that is they were inspired by the devil. The devil abused her when she was a child. Used her father, but the devil did it to her. And that woman doesn't know me like you know me. And that's why she's mean to everyone. Because she thinks the world's a horrible place. Because she doesn't know me. You know what I'd like for you to do? I'd like for you to be kind to her. And you might say something like this. You know, Lord, I'll be the only one in the office that's kind to that woman. Because nobody likes that woman. And the Lord would say, I like her. Matter of fact, I love her. And you're the only one that could reach that woman. I want you to be kind to her. You know what else I want you to do? I want you to forgive her. Really? Yep, I want you to. And I want you to. You know why I want you to forgive her? Because, I forgave you. And would you like me to remind you of some of the things I forgave you of? No, Lord, you don't have to remind me. Because, you know, you used to be mean, too. I want you to go love her and forgive her. Do you realize that Thursday's quiet time might change that woman's life? Just one thing like that. And then Friday, you might get to Ephesians 5 and read verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And the Holy Spirit might speak to you and say, you see that verse? Yes, Lord, I see that verse. Well, I want to talk to you about that verse for a minute, sir. Okay, Lord. Well, you know how you've been praying and asking me to change your wife? Yes, Lord, I know that. Matter of fact, I just prayed that. That's what was on my mind this morning, was that you would change my wife. And the Lord might say something to you like this. Well, I have a plan. I have a plan of how we're going to change your wife. You're going to love her, and you're going to lay your life down for her like Jesus did for you. That's my plan. And I want to tell you something. You needed to be changed, too. And you were a bad person. You remember what we just talked about? Yeah, we don't need to go back into that, Lord. I remember that part. Okay. You were a bad person. You know what my plan was for you? I sent my son who loved you and laid his life down for you. and I want you to love your wife and lay your life down for her, and that's the way we're going to change her. So you've been asking me to change her? Well, I'm going to answer your prayer right now. I'm going to change her by changing you. And get your piece of paper and your pen out. I'm going to tell you some ways that you can lay your life down for her right now. Number one, pick up your dirty clothes. Number two, lift the lid. The Lord just might speak some very specific ways to you to love your wife and lay your life down for her. Okay, and then you get to, on Saturday, chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, and God can speak that to you. Here's my point. You're never going to learn to hear God unless you start reading that book. It's not going to happen. You're not going to go to a new level. No matter where you are in your life, in your Christian walk, if you're a new believer or if you've been saved 40 years, you need to go to a new level. Doesn't matter where you are. Whatever level you're on has worn out. It's time to go to another level. And in this area of hearing God, all of us need to go to another level. How am I going to get to another level? Even if I've been saved 24 years now, I'm going to keep reading this book. The more I read this book, the more I'm going to hear God. All right, so that's number one. Here's the second way we hear God. His voice. His voice. First way is His Word. Second way is His voice. God still speaks today. God still speaks. He hasn't had laryngitis for 2,000 years. And he just hasn't got the right doctor yet, and he can't get over it, and he just doesn't speak anymore. I can tell you another reason that I know he speaks is because that word tells me that he's the same and that he never changes, and that word tells me he speaks. So he didn't speak for 4,000 years, and then he's been silent for the last 2,000 years. God still speaks because I read his word. And I can tell you something else. The very preachers, this is going to blow your mind when I tell you this. The very preachers that will tell you that God doesn't speak today will also tell you that they were called to preach. Next time, ask them, who called you? Because God doesn't make calls anymore, is what you're saying. He does make calls. He still speaks. Now, he never says anything contrary to this word, but he does speak. Now, turn to John chapter 10. I had so many scripture for this message that I just put in a few. I'm going to show you just one passage that God still speaks. John 10, verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's Jesus. To him the doorkeeper opens. That's the Father. And the sheep, that's me. That's us. The sheep hear his voice. Remember, the point two is his voice. Here the Bible says, sheep hear his voice. Not his word only, his voice. Watch this. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. That's great news right there, that Jesus will go before you to work tomorrow. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. And verse 27 of the same chapter, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. He has a voice. And according to the Bible, we as sheep, we are the sheep of his pasture. We can hear the shepherd's voice. The shepherd still speaks. Now, I'm going to tell you an illustration here, all right? And I want you to just tell me if you... you know how you go to a party sometimes and you play that game where you tell three stories and two of them are true and one's not true and people try to tell which one's not true? Okay. So I'm going to tell you a story, and I want you to tell me if it's true. Now, before I tell you the story, let me emphasize it so you'll understand where I'm going in the story. First of all, how many of you have been married more than 10 years? Can I see your hands? Okay. How many of you have been married more than 20 years? Okay. More than 30 years? Okay, it's getting a little narrower there. How many of you have been married more than 40 years? Okay. Wow, that's pretty good. How many more than 50 years? Anyone more? Look back here. Right there, more than 50 years. Pretty good. Okay. And now I'm going to tell you a story. Debbie and I, this year, this May will be 25 for us. All right, so we've been together for a while. Here's the story. You tell me if you believe it. We've been married, this May will be 25 years. We've known each other, well, we've been dated for 3 years before, so 28. But actually, She knew me all the way back to fifth grade. I didn't know her because she was a goody-goody and I was a baddie-baddie, but she knew me. Or she knew of me, I should say. I was the first one to get a paddling. I got the most, never mind. Everyone knew me in school. But so anyway, this last week, here's the story. You tell me if it's true or not. This last week, Debbie called me on the phone, been married 25 years, called me on the phone and said, "Hey," and I just thought of something. That's probably why. That's probably why that I think that every sentence that God speaks begin with "Hey," because their voices are real similar. Okay, so anyway, she called me on the phone and she said, "Hey." It's the first thing she always says, "Hey." And so now, when she called me on the phone, what do you think I said? "Hey." Yeah. Yeah, one guy last night said, "Hey, hey, hey." I said, "Man, this is church. This is church. Don't be talking like that in church." Okay. No, here's what I said. She said, "Hey." I said, "Who is this?" She said, "Debbie." I said, "Debbie who?" How many of you believe that story? No, it's not true. Of course not. Now, one person raised your hand like, "Yeah, you're mean enough to do that." No. Oh, okay. Okay. No. Why? When she said, "Hey," I said, "Hey." And I immediately knew who it was. Why? I know her voice. But why do I know her voice? Listen. This is how simple it is to know the voice of God. This is how simple it is. It's not hard. It's simple. It's because I spend a lot of time with her. That's it. When you hear me talking about, "God told me this, God told me that, God told me," when you have friends, "God told me, God told me, God told me," and you say, "Boy, I wish I could hear the voice of God like that." Anytime you're talking to someone who really hears the voice of God, and I know sometimes people say, "God told me," when God didn't tell them. You know, I understand that. But when you talk to someone who really knows the voice of God, you're talking to someone who spent a lot of time in His presence. So that when He says, "Hey," I know immediately who it is. I don't even have to look at the caller ID. I know who it is. "Hey, hey, how are you?" Listen to me. That's how simple it is. Please understand this. You can hear God as clearly as I hear God. Preachers do not have a direct line to God, and you have to go through someone to get to God. You have a direct line because you're a believer in Jesus. Every believer in Jesus has a direct line, direct access to God. You can come boldly to the throne is what the Bible says. Every believer. You can hear God as clearly or better than I can. If you just get to know Him, spend time in His presence. And this goes back to last week's message. Read His Word and get in His presence. These are the two best ways to hear God. All right, this is a nugget that I'm going to put out on His voice, okay? A nugget means it's something God is speaking to me and He's going to develop this and it's going to be awesome and incredible. But this will blow you away. When I began studying on this, the Lord spoke something to me. Remember 2 weeks ago we talked about dead faith. What's the definition of dead faith? Faith without works. But then we also talked about, there's also something the Bible called dead works. What are dead works? Works without faith. In other words, works without the voice of God, because faith comes by hearing, right? So if you do something and you didn't hear God, it's a dead work. It's a dead work. All right. So I'm reading along in Hebrews and I saw where dead works come from. This, you're not even going to believe this. This is going to blow you away. Do you know what in you causes dead works? You ready for this? Your conscience. This is what, you know what Hebrews says? Hebrews 11 says that the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience so that we don't serve God through dead works. If your conscience has not been cleansed by the blood, you'll do a dead work to try to serve God or please God. And listen, I'm going to make a bold statement here. God never intended for you to live by your conscience. Never. He intended for you to live by His voice. Want me to prove it to you? In the beginning, that's the way God created it. That's the way He wanted it to stay. He didn't want sin to come in the world. He won't sin to ruin people's lives. He creates Adam and Eve. He puts them in the garden. And here's what He says to them. You can eat from every tree. By the way, there were two trees that we know about that He called their names. But this is what He said. He said, you can eat from every tree in the garden, which included the tree of life. Before they fell, they could eat from the tree of life. You can eat from every tree except one tree. You remember what it was called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You want me to give you another word for that tree? Conscience. That's conscience. And you say, well, what's our conscience for? Our conscience is to convict us and bring us to Christ. But once you come to Christ, He really doesn't want you to live by your conscience. He wants you to live by His voice. His voice is over your conscience even. Listen to me. Think about this. It's the knowledge of good and evil. First of all, God never wanted you to live by your knowledge. If this isn't going off in you, you ought to think, man, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life. Listen, it says it's the knowledge of good and evil. First of all, God's voice is higher than your knowledge. God doesn't want you to live by your knowledge of what's good and bad. And the choice is not between good and evil. The choice was between life and death. That was the choice in the Garden of Eden. The choice is you choose between the tree of life, and if you eat of that tree, the day you eat it, you will die. That was the tree of death. If you live by your conscience, you're going to live by the tree of death. And let me tell you something that's higher than your conscience. God's voice. That's what He wants you to live by. And someone said to me, well, how will I know what's right and wrong then? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He will tell you what's right and wrong. And He wants you to live by His voice. Okay, that's a nugget. Y'all need to get excited about that nugget too. That was a good nugget. All right, here's the third one. His counsel. His counsel. Now let me just read you some scriptures. There's a list of them, so I'm going to read them to you. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Proverbs 11:14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 15:22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20. Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter days. Proverbs 24:6. For by wise counsel you will wage your own war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, I know I read a lot of verses for that point, but I threw out a bunch too. I mean, I just left in the ones that I got to make this point. And here's one of the reasons why I put so many verses on this point. Because this is the number one way people miss God, is they won't heed counsel. This is number one. This is so. And can I tell you why we really need counsel? There's several reasons. Let me tell you the main reason that many of us need counsel. Because the main way we hear God is His Word. The second way is His voice. Now listen to me carefully. Many believers spend very little time in His Word and His presence. And that's why they really need godly counsel. Now, we need godly counsel no matter how much time I spend in His Word and His presence. I still need godly counsel. But I'm just telling you, a lot of people don't spend very much time at all in His Word. They don't know His Bible. People tell me all the time, I don't know where it is, but. I don't know where it is, but. That's what, even time I talk about a verse in the Bible, I don't know where it is, but. Well, the reason you don't know where it is is because you haven't spent much time in His Word. That's why. That's the very simple fact of it. I used to get up when I was a traveling minister, and I used to prove that people didn't spend much time in the Bible, I'd say, turn to Hezekiah. And all these people start turning, and I tell them, there is no Hezekiah. But they all thought there was a Hezekiah, because we don't read the Bible very much. We don't spend much time in His Word. We don't spend much time in His presence. That's why one of the top ways for some of you to hear God will be His counsel. Godly counsel. And there's a difference between godly counsel and ungodly counsel. Some people come to me and ask my opinion. I tell them my opinion, which I base it on the Bible, and they don't like it, so they go to someone else. And they keep going to someone until they find someone who agrees with them or doesn't have the guts to say what you're doing is wrong. And they've talked to 10 people, and 9 of them say it's wrong, and 1 of them says it's okay, and they choose to listen to that person. Do you understand? Many people ask for counsel, few heed it. Let me say that again. Many people ask for counsel, few heed it. And that's another great Bible study, by the way, in the Word, is the many's and the few's. Many are on the broad road, few are on the narrow road. Many are called, few are chosen. There's a whole bunch of many's and few's in there. Many, many people ask for counsel and few heed the counsel. You need to heed godly counsel. There's a difference between godly counsel and ungodly counsel. Godly counsel always agrees with the Word of God. It will never disagree or contradict the Word of God. It always agrees. And I have a friend of mine that pastors up in Illinois, and he preached a message a while back, and he called it plain stupid counsel. And I thought, boy, what a great message. Plain stupid counsel. And where he got it from was, if you've heard of how the nation of Israel divided, maybe in your Bible studies you've heard of the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. Do you know why they divided? They divided because Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, became king. And he went to the elders and he said, what should I say in my State of the Union address? My first State of the Union address, what should I say? They said, you tell the people you'll be a servant. They said, if you'll be a servant to them, they will be your servants forever. That's our counsel. Then he went to his friends and his friends said, you tell them if they think your father was tough, they ain't seen nothing yet. You tell them that your little finger is going to be heavier than your father's whole kingdom. That's what you tell them. And he listened to his friends' counsel instead of these elders' counsel. And he went out and he told them. And the people said, bye-bye. And they left and they made Jeroboam king. And the kingdom split because one guy didn't listen to counsel. It's called plain, stupid counsel. And there's a bunch of plain, stupid counsel floating around the body today. We have to come to the place that we will not only ask for counsel, but we will heed counsel when someone gives us that counsel. All right, here's the last way we hear God, His peace. His Word, His voice, His counsel, His peace. Colossians 3, verse 15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, let me ask the grammarians, and by the way, in the other three services, we have no grammarians. Some of you are thinking, I was Presbyterian. I don't know what a grammarian is. So you're out of the question already, okay? But for the grammarians, what's the verb in that sentence? We don't have any in this service either, do we? Rule. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Rule. 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 You have to think about this. The word in the Greek means govern or arbitrate. Let the peace of God arbitrate. You go to an arbitrator, you have to abide by the decision, no matter what it is, even if you don't like it. Govern comes from the word that we use for a judge. You go to a judge, you have to abide what the judge says, no matter what he says, no matter what, even if you don't like it or not. This is what this is saying. Let the peace of God make the decision. Let the peace of God tell you what to do. Let the peace of God be your boss, be your Lord, be your master. You're saying, why are you telling me this? This is another way we hear God. Peace. Do you have peace or not? Do you still have peace? Did you lose your peace about the decision you made? Did you make a decision and now you just don't have any peace and you need to go back to the person and say, listen, I think I missed the Lord on that. I lost my peace when I told you that and I haven't had any peace since I told you that and I want to come back to you and talk to you about this again. When you lose your peace, stop. Back up. Find your peace. Get it again. Debbie and I were buying a home one time and we had peace about it. And God's Word lined up to it. Nothing in His Word that would have disagreed with us buying it. We had a word from God. He'd spoken to both of us in our quiet time that was the house we were supposed to buy. That was the house for us. We went to counsel. Counsel said, yes, we feel good about it. We made an offer. They countered to our offer. But when they did, we lost our peace. I mean, lost peace. And I talked to the one of the elders who's one of my friends that was helping me through this. I was getting counsel from. I talked to several other elders about it as well. But this one in particular, he said, I don't have peace about it. Something happened. When they countered, I lost my peace. So we started praying. A month went by. 1 month went by. And all of a sudden, in my quiet time, the Lord spoke to me about that house. I said, Lord, I just pray that whatever is your will, and the Lord said, urgency. Just the word urgency. And I felt urgency in my spirit. I called the elder friend of mine that was praying about it. I said, I got a word from the Lord this morning about that house. He said, I got one yesterday. I said, well, tell me your word first. He said, urgency. I said, okay, that's good enough for me. That's pretty close to what I heard, urgency. So I went and made another offer. And we also had numbers. And he said, this is the number I have from the Lord. I feel like you ought to offer this number. So they come to that number. I said, that's great. And it was about 10% less than what they wanted for the house. 10%, not one, 10%. So I countered at that on Tuesday. They accepted on Tuesday afternoon. On Wednesday, they got a full price offer the next day. Now, You say, well, now, why do you think God pulled your peace back? Listen to me. Sometimes it's a test. So you say, well, isn't that contrary? God gave you a word? No, let me tell you what He did. He told us it was our house, which we got it, by the way, but He didn't tell us the timing. The peace has to do with the timing. See? He didn't say it's your house tomorrow. He said it's your house. That's the word we got. So we had peace, but when we lost our peace to make an offer, we backed off. We said, well, hey, it's up to God. We trust Him. And can I tell you what God was doing? Think about this. God knew they were going to get a full price offer on that Wednesday. So He knew on Monday to say to me, urgency. He knew that. And He wanted me again to obey. And when I obeyed, now I don't have to worry about, did I do the wrong thing? Did I miss God? I know I heard God, and I know I obeyed God because I did what He told me to. Listen, let peace rule in your heart. Let the peace of God rule. So these are the four ways we hear God. So listen to me. If you're not willing to read the Bible, if you're not willing to spend time in His presence, if you're not willing to heed counsel, and you're going to charge ahead even when you don't have peace, I can't help you hear God. I just want you to know that. I cannot help you to hear God. But if you will read His Word, spend time in His presence, heed godly counsel, and only move forward when you have His peace, you're going to become an expert in hearing God. I promise you. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. What's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? In a moment, when we dismiss, we're going to have leaders of the church here at the front, at the altar, to minister to you. And you will have an opportunity to come to one of these leaders. We'll dismiss the service. There will be other people down here at the front. You'll have an opportunity just to come to one of these leaders and say, I need prayer for something in my life. And I really want to encourage you. I think there are some people here today that you believe in Jesus, but you really don't know if you died today, you'd go to heaven. You really don't. You know you believe, but you're really not sure because you've done some things. You've messed up. You've been away from God. Please don't leave today without coming to one of these at the front saying, I need to pray about my life. I need to get right with God. And if you have any situation, your family, your health, your business, your job, your relationships, any situation, we want to pray with you, okay? Lord, I pray that You would take each of us to a new level in our ability to hear You. In Jesus' name, amen.